majority of owners do not understand the difference between a process and a system. But if you're going to build a system, you've got to fine tune your processes. You've got to figure out, how do I efficiently get apples from higher in the tree, right? I'll show you some specific examples of processes here. Actually, I'll give you something by the end of this call where everybody can execute it on it. It'll take 5 minutes for you to do, and you can get new patients in the door immediately.
Welcome to the Grow Your Practice podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Chad Madden, owner of Madden Physical Therapy and Breakthrough. Join me each week as we dive into the best practices, systems, principles, tips, and tricks to help you grow your private practice.
This week, I wanted to share with you a recording from a recent webinar that I hosted. To get access to the slides and videos of this recording, you can visit getbreakthrough.com/resources. Remember, this was a training hosted with a live audience, so there are real-time questions and answers that I think you will find valuable. Without further ado, let's get started. I hope you enjoy this episode. So we're going to get started here. And in this, I'm going to share our marketing system that we've built over the last 20 plus years. For my private practice, where does the $20 million come from? We had a valuation done within the last 12 months, and our practice was valued at $20.8 million. And I'll give you the full story there. I kind of realized after we started, so this is behind the curtain, but that $20 million might not be believable to some practice owners, or might be unreal. Like, I could never do that. And I can tell you that just for the last 20 years, we've just been putting one foot in front of the other, looking for consistent 20% year-over-year growth. And if you would look at, you know, our first original business plan that we had back in 2003, it was for 50 visits a week. And if you would grow that out at 20% year over year for 20 plus years, that's exactly where we're at today. And it's roughly 2,500 visits a week, just to give you an idea. So from Brittany, 52 new patients in February, 24 clinics. Would love to see that at least 25% growth by end of year. So another, it's that 13 to be exact. So 65 new patients a week. Great. Yeah, I'll show you how we would break that down and solve that problem here, Brittany. Very cool. So for those of you that are just joining, if you haven't done so already, you can go to the chat and just type in where you're tuning in from, where your practice is at, and then also the number of years that you've been in practice. Bonus, if you include in there whatever your biggest marketing challenge is today. So in our time together here, we're going to talk about the number one key ingredient of a marketing system. I think this is something that is overlooked, at least from the vast majority of practice owners that I talk with. And if you feel like you're reinventing the wheel every month, or you're having to create another video or something like that, you're really going to appreciate this. The second thing that we're going to do is avoidable pitfalls that I see a lot, that I've made myself, that I'm guilty of myself. Third is the five pathways of new patient flow. A lot of practices break down number of new patients per day, per week, per month, per year that they're looking for. And I'm going to show you the way that we break it down into five ways. And for a private practice, I think they're the only five ways, pathways that we can get a new patient. And number four is we're going to talk about how to set up a marketing department, and I'll show you exactly how we do it. We have a marketing team of four right now for our seven clinics. And I just looked this up. Last year, we did a little over 4,000 new patients who came through. I have the breakdown for you as well, but we'll get into that, and then we'll open this up for Q&A. So just quick poll here, answer in the chat, 0 to 10, how consistent is your marketing system? So if you were looking at the marketing that you have it today for your practice, 0 to 10, how well is it working for you? Zero is completely unpredictable, inconsistent. You have no idea where patients are coming from. You're relying on high quality of care and word of mouth referrals, but you're not tracking all that stuff. 10 is everything is trackable. You know exactly where patients are coming from. You know what levers to pull, so there's no slow season, and you have consistent growth quarter after quarter, year after year. Ooh, brutal. I got a couple threes in there, twos, fives. Hey, John, how you doing? We've got a six from John. All right, this will be great. We'll break this down for you. So I'm going to share how this has evolved over time and how we built the marketing system that I use in our practice. Now, this is key. Boom, Cheryl, zero. All right. Cheryl, it will absolutely be better by the end of our time together here. I can make you that promise, highly confident. So what's a system? And, you know, I hear many owners talk about that, you know, that e-myth idea of, I want to go from working in my business, treating 40 plus hours a week, to working on my business. I know I have to do this. I know I have to have team members in place, the right team members in place, the right people on the bus. And I also have to build systems. Here's the just an absolutely brutal truth. We have no idea how to do it as clinicians. We don't. And it's not just that in physical therapy, chiropractic care, integrated services, conservative care. It's small businesses across the board in general. We've never been trained on it. So we're going to break this down very simply. What is a system? I think there's like 27 definitions that I found. This is probably the one that applies to us the most in terms of what we're trying to do and what we're trying to build. It's a formulated, regular, or special method or plan of procedure. If you think about this, a system is made up of multiple processes. And again, when we get to the five pathways, we're going to dive down deep here, and I'm going to show you some specific processes that you should have within your marketing system. The first time I ever learned this was from Paul Zane. I think it's Paul Zane Pilsner. And he was talking about how economies were built. And it's basically, you know, if we were in a tribe and it was my job to go get food and I found an apple tree, right? I could go every day, grab some apples, eat some myself, and then bring the rest back to the rest of the tribe, right? That's my job. And then one day I could figure out, well, if I take a stick, I can actually not only get the low-hanging fruit, I can get fruit higher up on the tree and knock the apples off and collect them. Then maybe I figure out how to take a basket or a bushel and fill that up so I'm getting more out of my effort. So a system is made up of processes, right? And in the case of our apple, the process was, here's how to knock this fruit off the tree with a stick. Here's how to transport the fruit, right? So a process is a systematic series of actions directed to some end. So when we're talking about a marketing system, it's made up of a lot of processes. I've written down over 80, and we're not going to go through everyone here, but yeah, so we have over 80 processes. So from everything from how to ask for a word of mouth referral, to how to get reactivations, to how to do cold traffic marketing follow-up. And we're going to talk about those here in our time together. Now, where do new patients come from? They come from five areas. And I've talked with owners on a national level about these five pathways, and I haven't had anybody come to the table that brought anything radically different than what's on here, and it would fit into one of these categories. So number one is reactivations. This is a past patient coming back for additional care. You treated Mary 3 years ago for her back pain. Now you're treating her. She just started again because she had a knee replacement, right? That would be a reactivation. The second one is word of mouth referral. That is, Mary sends in her sister, Lucille, for her back, right? That would be a word of mouth referral. A lot of people call that friends and family. The third place that we can get patients from is physician referrals or professional referrals. So it could be physician, nurse practitioner, PA, midwife, podiatrist. Depending on your practice act and your licensure, you could be getting referrals from other clinicians in your area. So that would be physician referrals. Number four is partner referrals. These are businesses that promote you. I've had Chris Gordos on, who talked about his relationship with Fleet Feet on the podcast. We have great relationships with large employers in our area. I'll give you a little tip. You should be thinking about partnering with companies, large employers, who offer your best paying insurance, or other organizations such as gyms, especially boutique gyms, yoga studios, Pilates studios, that are serving your ideal clientele, especially if you're a cash-based service, your ideal clientele are going there, right? And that should be a mutually beneficial relationship, but that would be partners. People promote other organizations
promoting you. And then finally, we have cold traffic marketing. And I think, if I remember right, it was Sid, somebody talking about, oh, sorry, David, getting first-time patients over reactivations. So that would be, I would qualify that as like cold traffic marketing. If you think about it, the top is the first two come from your patient list, three and four come from other people doing a warm third-party referral to you, and then five is people who are completely unknown, they don't know, like, and trust you yet. And they all require different strategies and, more importantly, different processes. And just to show you here, we track everything. I ran this through January of 2024. Actually, I just updated every month, although I did update February before I took the screenshot here. Yeah, we just hit an all-time record last month. I think it was 431 or something like that for new patients in a month. And then we break it down into those five key things. So I'm eating my own cooking here. This is exactly what we do. And then we break it down into physician referrals, partners, or CAWS stands for Capture Audience Workshop. Past patients returning for additional care or reactivations, cold traffic, friends and family, and then our total new patients. This training is brought to you by Breakthrough. So not only have we had success within my own private practice over the last 10 years, my partner, Carl Mattiola, and I, and the rest of our team here at Breakthrough, we've been sharing these processes and systems with private practice owners, all 50 states, 11 countries internationally. We have a lot of data on what's working, what's not working, especially for those that are looking for more reactivations and more cold traffic marketing. On the personal timeline, opened up in 2003, September 2nd of 2003, 3 days before my oldest son was born. Not the best timing in the world. He is now almost 21, which is kind of crazy. Over the years, we've grown. More importantly here, we've had a lot of losses. In the beginning, our whole practice was based on physician referral. We hit an all-time high in November of 2008. If you remember from the last slide, right now we're seeing about 70 to 80 physician referrals in a month for seven offices. That 154 was for a single office. Kind of crazy. So we got really good at that. And then the referral sources started drying up in our area. Three hospital systems now employ over 90% of the physicians in our area. We transitioned to direct-to-consumer or direct access marketing. 2016, we had an independent valuation of $4 million. We were considering a merger with somebody. And then over the last few years, we've continued to grow 20% year over year. And 2021 had an independent valuation of $11 million. 2022, my deal's public, sold 70% of the practice at a valuation of $16.5 million. And then just last year, we had another valuation done that came in at 20.8. So everything I'm sharing here is from experience. And yeah, this is exactly what we're doing and how we're growing 20% year over year. So three common pitfalls to building a system. And I'll just give you a trigger warning, but I get to talk with a lot of owners. And yeah, I mean, we have to call it what it is here. So number one is lack of owner know-how, right? A majority of owners do not understand the difference between a process and a system. But if you're going to build a system, you've got to fine-tune your processes. You've got to figure out, like, how do I efficiently get apples from higher in the tree, right? So we have a process for everything, and I'll show you some specific examples of processes here. Actually, I'll give you something by the end of this call where everybody can execute it on it. It'll take 5 minutes for you to do, and you can get new patients in the door immediately. So lack of owner know-how is a big problem. Most of us went to school. We, you know, decided to become a clinician because we wanted to help people. We came out of school. We thought because we had a degree on the wall, and actually I have all three of mine hanging right there, because we have a degree on the wall that somehow that it qualifies us to be a business owner. But learning how to write a process that is reproducible by other people is really the key there. Learning how to hire team members that can execute those processes, also a big key. Most of us just have no idea how to do that. Years ago, I figured out pretty quick within the first few years of business that I had that I didn't know. And, you know, had to overcome that and go learn and read and take courses and hire coaches and do everything else early on. But you get that for number one. And again, I'll break this down. So if you've never written a process in your life, and let's say you're a solopreneur where you're answering your own phones, you're cleaning your own suite, you're doing your own billing, you at least know how to create a process by the time we're done here. Number two is we mistake box checks for trackable results. And here's what I mean. When we talk about reactivation processes here a little bit later on, there are multiple things you can do. You can do a direct mail piece. You could do a text. You could do an email campaign to your past patient list, right? But it's very easy to mistake, well, I sent out an email last month to my patient list and misunderstand that you're optimizing that process and system. It's one thing to take your patient newsletter. So for example, here, I just grab this, but this is our patient newsletter that we mail out every single month. This goes out to like 25, 30,000 people. We have an offer on the inside always. Anyhow, we mail this out. It would be a mistake for me to take this in PDF form and email it out or try to text it out. Nobody's going to open that and read it. You wouldn't do that if I emailed you a newsletter or somebody else emailed you a newsletter. I mean, that's just not how that works. So I would be sending an email out, but it's never going to result in a trackable result. When we do understand how email should work and we use it in the way that it's formatted and we've developed that process that we can share with you, the results are ridiculous. I remember one time, well, the first time we sent out an email, we happened to send it out on a Sunday morning, which we don't do anymore. But Monday morning when I walked in, the receptionist at our main office here, they were like, you need to turn it off. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about? And they said, we have like 220 people reached out to us this morning telling us that they're in pain, that they need an appointment. And it was from a single email campaign that we had sent out to our list. So yeah, that's what I mean by trackable results and mistaking a box check for that. The number three here is owners frequently underestimate the amount of effort that building a system takes and also the systems needed in order to make that work well. I know a few years ago we were in spreadsheets. I think our group was using like six different spreadsheets, which was absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, so this is like Microsoft Excel or a Google Sheet, something like that. And then I just said, hey, like we're going to use one software system to track everything. And you can't use anything outside of this because our marketing team must understand, the clinical directors must understand exactly where people are at, where these past patients or cold traffic is at within our system. So we're going to use one system. We're not going to use 20 different spreadsheets. Quick story on this. So before in 2022, my partner and I sat down, kind of a crazy story, but through a friend of a friend, I met Jason Yeh. Jason has a podcast called Funded. He is a three-time founder. The reason that we were connected is he was teaching a class. Oddly, it was at Silicon Valley Bank. Yes, that Silicon Valley Bank that went under a year or two ago. And he was teaching a course for 30 investment bankers. It was a six-week course. He had a contract to do it. So he had already sold them on the course, but he wanted to know how to design it the right way. I helped him through the process. He launched the course. It was extremely successful. And he actually ended up rolling that over into a business that is growing right now and helping founders raise money for their primarily tech ideas. So really cool. We got to the end and he was like, hey man, what do I owe you? And I was like, you don't owe me anything. This was amazingly helpful for me. And I was like, wait. Okay, fair enough. You don't like, I'm not looking for money, but I was like, you've seen, so he shared this one spreadsheet with me where he's an angel investor. And he said, on that one spreadsheet, he had over 500 deals that he had looked at in like the last 24 months, 36 months. And I was like, you see more deal flow than anybody else I've ever met in my life. Number one, if you're going to invest in something, I just ask that you tell me so I can piggyback along. Number two, out of all these deals that you've ever looked at, these pitches that you looked at for investment, can I see the best one ever? So he gave that to me, and or he allowed me to see it is a better way to put it. And then what I did is I took our private and I basically followed that same template, but filled it out for our practice. I've shared this a couple different places already. This is probably the most requested thing that anybody, any other owners asked me for in terms of resource. But oddly, we did not share this with the world when we were going through the selling of our practice. What it did, though, is it helped reformat the advantages that we had in the marketplace and the systems that we had. So, and I'll run through this very quickly with you. I talk about the market evolution, how when we started, it was all about physician referrals, and then how that changed. We then talked about, you know, the challenges that happen with physician-owned physical therapy services and hospital-owned physical therapy services, and the challenge that we face there. And then we talked about how we switched over. And the main reason that we did this is because it helps illustrate like how we solve problems as a company. I talk about direct to consumer marketing and really, you know, how we hit it out of the ballpark specifically with shoulder pain and why that happened. And then I talk about how we're different from other private practices within the marketplace, our differentiators. We do a ton of direct to consumer marketing. You go back to that new patient breakdown that I shared in 2023, roughly 85-87% of our new patients who came through our doors came directly from direct to consumer marketing, not physician referrals. We have a 12-month future clinical director training that gives us rapid de novo success. That de novo is a new clinic. By the way, if you have any questions, feel free to answer them or ask them in the chat, and we'll make sure you get your questions answered at the end. The results of that, of our the marketing systems and our differentiators, is we have very consistent annual growth. In fact, at the end of 2017, my partner and I, Mike Gilbert, we made a plan through 2030 that had 20% year-over-year growth, and I'll share that with you here. Even with the pandemic, last year we were within 1% of our main vitals with regards to growth there. So it was pretty cool that that still holds true. And now, even this year, we're a little bit, in Q1 here, we're a little bit ahead of schedule. I believe, and I'm very biased, you should know this, but everything starts with marketing. And I'll be sharing, as I promised Brittany, sharing the flywheel here in a second. But I think if you're not able to attract market share and attract attention and convert people over to your services, then, I mean, you could have the best team in the world of clinicians, but you're not really going to be able to grow. Can't fill schedules and fill space. So it all starts with me with direct-to-consumer marketing. We divide our marketing efforts into two primary targets, our patient list and then general public, cold traffic. And then we talk through everything that we do, the processes that we have in place for those two markets. Here's what happened. I mean, we did a comparison back in 2018, but on the left, we have an established clinic. This is our original clinic. Here, I think it was in its 16th year, something like that. But the breakdown of where our new patients are coming from, and then over on the right, we talk about in a brand new clinic. Oh, sorry, this is our ad spend, where our money's going, our investment is going. And then here is a brand new clinic. This is year number one for our Dolphin Clinic, which we opened in 2018. And you can see 90% of our money there has to go to external marketing. So it's significantly higher cold traffic, less word of mouth and reactivation, naturally, because there's not much of a patient list in year number one. And then we talked about in our de novo clinics, how Mechanicsburg we opened in 2009. Dolphin was 2018. Cedar Cliff was January 27th of 2020. Not great timing. Shrewsbury was even worse. It was March 9th of 2020. We call that our COVID clinic. They're up over 400 visits a week now. So, I mean, they're absolutely crushing it. But how we can go into a cold market and attract people right away, even though we don't have a patient list there. And then Hershey, I should complete that for you, but they're what they've we started in 2,000 square feet there. We went to 4,000 square feet again in a completely cold market. Brittany, this is what I wanted to show you before. So we begin by, direct-to-consumer marketing in a new area before we open, generates new patients and ultimately visits when they complete a plan of care. The visits generate income. We have a cash reserve system, so 10% of gross revenue weekly. We invest in future growth. That's primarily space equipment and personnel. And then we use 10% of that gross revenue to invest in buying additional market share so that we're, I believe in the chat we had that term scaling up, right? So we're, as we grow, right now our run rate is roughly $9 million a year, $10 million a year. So this year we expect to invest $900,000 in marketing. If you go back 10 years and when we were a $2 million rev clinic, that number would be 200K. So it grows incrementally, it scales up as we scale as well. And as we go along, the cycle repeats with greater momentum. And if you read, Jim Collins' original flywheel transcript, that's exactly what he was talking about. So this is how we think about it. And yeah, it's worked well for us so far. So I shared that back in 2017, Mike and I wrote out a 13-year plan. This is a snippet of that plan. Yeah, the 103,504 visits in 2023. I think we missed that by 1,000 visits, something like that. But yeah, I mean, this just so we can calculate how many FTEs we need, how many visits per FTE per year, comes out to 43 visits a week, income, EBITDA, et cetera. So how do we set up our marketing department? We break this up into two key areas. We have an internal marketer. Right now, we have three of these internal marketing reps. They focus on reactivations, word-of-mouth referrals or friends and family, and then conversions from cold traffic. Here's their priorities coming in each day. They do an output tracker. So this tracks the total amount of communication from our clinicians to referral sources and then also to the patient list. They work cold traffic and partner leads, and then they do patient interviews. So day one, like 3 weeks into the plan of care, and then a graduation day, they'll call the patient and do an interview. And it's scripted. They ask 5 to 10 questions on each of those calls. External marketing. So we have one rep that's doing this right now. They do partner events. So I mentioned the Fleet Feet with Chris Gordos. Jamie got a relationship set up there with Fleet Feet. By the way, they sent out one email, Fleet Feet did for us, and they booked 10 appointments, like literally the same night within 3 hours. We only offered 10 appointments, and they were all booked up within that first email. So we have a rep that handles that, and then also relationships with physicians, but this is really as needed. We don't do a lot here. All right. So you just asked about more on systems and processes. Let's talk about that and how to focus on a process. So I'm going to give you the big picture. So a system is all of your processes together for one, for one end. And let's say we want to generate new patients, and then we'll break it down. So let's take a look at one thing, which is reactivation, right? I showed you five channels. This is now breaking up our marketing system into just one thing, the reactivation processes that we should have in place. We have a patient newsletter. I just held up an example of that. We mail this out once a month to our entire patient list. We have patient email campaigns that go out twice a month. We have text campaigns that go out to supplement that. And then we also have a process around conversion responses. And when I talked about the three pitfalls originally, and I mentioned don't know how, here is, and if you're in a clinic type that is primarily relying on other professionals referring to you, you're likely going to be funneling everything, whether it's reactivation or cold traffic marketing. You're likely going to be running everything, meaning the conversion process through your front desk. Most practice owners will assume falsely, I had to learn this the hard way, that if Debbie, who happened to be my receptionist years ago, if she could handle taking a faxed script for physical therapy, calling that patient and scheduling them, that that competency was the same exact thing needed to convert somebody off of a Facebook or newspaper ad. Very, very different, right? So, and what we also discovered is that most clinicians or most practice owners assume that their physician conversion rate is 100%. And I find very few practices are higher than 80. So you're probably churning out some referrals that you're getting to your practice, and they're just never converting. In our main office, within 1 quarter, so 90 days, we had 99 new patients who scheduled a first appointment, that's a free screen or an eval, and either no-showed or canceled and never were rescheduled. So that's a very high churn rate. It was about 20% of our new patients on that quarter never made it in. So you constantly have to go back, and that's what I mean by conversion responses, like how you're responding to a text, which is different than how you're responding to an email, which is different than your how you're responding to somebody who's calling in from your newsletter offer, right? So we have a process around each one of these. And then let's take a look at just one. So, by the way, do we have any cash-based practices? So you don't accept insurance at all and you're only cash-based? Anybody? You can just type it in the chat. Okay, so Brittany, 100% cash-based. So for you, when I say improve the payer mix, let's say improve willingness to pay, right? So like if you're, and I'm just going to throw a number out. Let's say you're charging $135 a visit and you want to attract somebody who more easily pays $135 a visit, or maybe you want to increase to 150, right? Something like that. So we call that willingness to pay, but it's very, very similar idea in business. And especially when you go out of healthcare, they equate that pretty quickly. So let's talk about a text reactivation process, either to improve your willingness to pay or improving your payer mix. Identify your highest payers. So the way that you do this with cash-based is three factor. It's called frequency, recency, money. Let's say you have a patient list of 1,000 people or 100. It doesn't really matter how big it is. Some of those people are buying from you more often than others, right? So that would be a higher frequency score. Recency is somebody, if we had to draw a radius around your clinic, Brittany, and we had to guess who are the people in your community who are most likely to buy from you next month, there are people who have seen you the most recent. Just simple math problem, but that's fairly certain. So somebody who saw you within the last year is more likely to be reactivated, come to you for additional services than somebody who saw you 10 years ago, right? Or 6 years ago, whatever the recency is. And then money is the amount of money that they've already invested it with you is a very good indicator of their willingness to pay and invest in your services again. For highest payer, if you're insurance-based, like we can look and say, okay, Highmark, Blue Shield, we would love to have more Highmark, Blue Shield payers come through. So you want to identify whether you're cash-based or insurance, who your highest payers are, or what your avatar looks like for collecting or when you're determining your willingness to pay. Number two, you want to get a list of past patients with that payer or the willingness to pay who you have not seen it in at least 6 months, right? So they graduated their plan of care, you haven't seen them, and you've identified those people. Then we want to send a text, especially if we're looking to get a response here with same day response. Hi, fill in the blank, Mary, whoever the patient's name is. This is your favorite therapist, Chad from Madden & Gilbert PT. Obviously, you would say it's you. It's been six months since I last saw you for your knee. How are you? That's all you have to do. They are going to respond. That response rate is going to be very, very high, and they're going to tell you how they're doing. right? So if they answer back and Mary says, "Oh, my knee's doing great. I'm back to playing pickleball," or I'm down at the beach with my family," how are you going to follow up with that? That's where we need that conversion process, right? So you're having a human-to-human conversation. You're going to respond back to them. You're not switching them over to email. You're not switching them over to a phone call. You're not switching them over to direct message. You're going to stay on that media type that you're using, in this case, text, and you're going to respond when they respond and have a human-to-human conversation. By the way, that I would answer or ask, "Great to hear. Glad you're at the beach. Enjoy yourself. By the way, is there anything else bothering you?" Very, very simple, just to ask anything else. But if there is a problem, then we can have a conversation and see if our services are right for that person. Very high reactivation here, like 70% plus from that text. And so if you send out 10, you should be able to reactivate those responders at a very high rate. That's one example of a process. And again, I think we have about 80 for our marketing system. Forget who asked the question. Kishore, does that help? Like how you're going through step by step? If you want to swim upstream, there's a really good book on how to write processes. It's called Work the System by Sam Carpenter. All right, so now let's switch over to cold traffic processes, which is, I believe, asked by David. So I want new patients, but I don't just want reactivations, right? And our strategy, our system is we really want processes in all five channels. So on one end, we have our patients who know, like, and trust us already for reactivations. On the other end, we have cold traffic, people who don't know, like, and trust us yet. So where should we start here? We look at that scale. We have stages of awareness. This is from a book called Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz, written in the 1960s. It's an absolutely amazing book. But on one end of the scale, we have the unaware. That's our cold traffic marketing. This is the person who might not even be willing to admit that they have a problem and could benefit from your services, right? On the other end of the scale, we have highly aware. I know you, I love you and your services, and I want to be seen by you, right? This is your past patient list. And then we have problem aware, solution aware, product aware in between. Here's the deal. Within your area, even if you're an established practice, less than 10% of your area is going to be that aware. 90% is where you need to play, right? Especially if you're looking for a bigger pond, bigger pool, you're looking to grow your patient list over time. So our past patients live here in the highly aware, and then the cold market is where the bulk of your community is going to live. So how do we go about doing that? And specifically, I'll talk about Facebook and Instagram, because that's where most of the people are. A lot of results on TikTok. I'll show you here in a second where Google fits in, and also YouTube. But I mean, basically what we're seeing in online advertising, those five areas are working well. The question commonly comes up, do we do anything else other than online advertising? We do. We got our start in direct-to-consumer marketing advertising in our local paper. That paper is dying a rapid death. We now do a mailbox mailer. The entities that we're dealing with there are dying as well. So what we're doing is gradually shifting more and more of our advertising spend over to online. And I mean, it now makes up 75% of our marketing ad spend. The other thing to equate, if you're a practice owner, when you're a practice owner, is advertisement is a way to buy attention. You can do something with that attention once you grab it, or you can do nothing with it. I'm assuming that you're a practice owner that wants to hold your marketing accountable, and you want to have some trackability in there. You want to see what's working so you can do more of what's working and less of what's not. So if we look at, demographics of who's on Facebook and Instagram, we have the entire Facebook community. In your area, this is going to be 80 to 90% of the population. We then have people in pain, right? So that's not everybody. So just off the top of my head, I'll use Brittany as the example. So let's say in a 10-mile radius, there's 50,000 people in her clinic. Brittany, what's the number one thing that you want to track people into your clinic for? And give me a diagnosis. Back pain. Great. So we want to track people for back pain. And out of curiosity, how many people are within a 10-mile radius of your clinic? Ballpark. Oh, you're in, are you in Nashville? Oh, you might four clinics. Yeah, so just pick one clinic. Okay, I'll just say 100,000 for easy math. 100,000 people. What percentage of those people do you think suffer with back pain around one of your clinics? They've had back pain within the last 30 days. 25%. Great. So we have 25,000 people with back pain who could potentially benefit from your service. Now, there are some that might not, some maybe you don't want to treat, some who don't have a willingness to pay, right? So what we want to think about is there's this gigantic pool of people, right? People in pain. That's the next circle down. A little bit lower than that is people who are they're searching for your type of services. So if you're offering physical therapy or chiropractic care or functional medicine or podiatry or whatever it is, right? They are looking for your care. That's a smaller circle. And then people that are searching your practice, specifically, I think it was called Nashville, right? Nashville Physical Therapy. That's an even smaller. Here's the problem in private practice. A lot of us get lost that physical therapy near me or fill in the blank with whatever your service is, that the majority of people are there. We have more people on Facebook in our local area here in central Pennsylvania than 1 month. So we can get more views in 1 month on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and TikTok for back pain than we can than our back pain searches in the entire country. The search volume is not there. The person that is looking for your clinic has very high intent. They're likely just searching your name, right? Nashville Physical Therapy specifically for your company so they can call you, right? Very high intent. 90% of the market is lower awareness than that. So just something to think about that, but that's why we're on Facebook and Instagram. So what do you need to get started? You need a business manager account, business.facebook.com. By the way, I am very lay. I'm not technically savvy, but here at Breakthrough for 3 years, I worked with Kathy Borkowski and now Tyson Wigfall. And Kathy literally was hired by Facebook to build out their knowledge base. So like if you're going through this business manager account, she led the team that built that knowledge base of how to do this. So it's reliable information. You need a Facebook page. You need a Facebook ad account. You go through a process where you set up a pixel. And what a pixel is when somebody clicks on one of our ad will follow them even if they go off of Facebook. So we pixel their browser. This is happening all the time. It was freaking people out 7 years ago because you would click on a pair of boots on Amazon and then those boots would follow you around, or a pair of shoes, they would follow you around to other websites. That's what a pixel setup is. And then you want to build a funnel. And a funnel consists of multiple parts. You need ads. We very specifically use direct response ads. They don't focus on us and our clinic or a branding effect. They focus on the patient, the potential patient. We need a landing page. So when somebody clicks on the ad, one of those 25,000 people raises their hand and says, "Yes, Brittany, I have back pain." We want to take them to a landing page, and Brittany wants to be able to capture their information, right? Name and contact. Could be cell phone, could be email address, could be mailing address. But that's what a landing page does. And it only does that. You can't like, there's no place to navigate on a landing page other than giving the contact information in exchange for valuable information. We then go through like an indoctrination email sequence and some things like that. But you have to have a conversion process. And we automate all this. And I have it automated in my practice. And then there's time to test and optimize. We constantly are, we'll show two ads, see what image works better. Show two ads, see what headline works better. Show two landing pages. So let's say we have 100 people respond to our ad in a quarter. We can split test and say, okay, here are the two landing pages. This one converts at 45%. This one converts at 17%. We keep the 45%. That's the new control. And you can be scientific with your marketing the same way you are in the clinic. So let's talk about meta advertising with Breakthrough. This is the same system that I have for cold traffic marketing. And oops, second time that happened. All right. So we at Breakthrough, we have an ad ops team led by Tyson that manages ads for you. I don't know how to do ads myself. In fact, the beginning of Breakthrough was Carl had interviewed me and back in 2012, and he said, "What are you trying to do?" And I was like, "I'm trying, I'm taking all these courses trying to figure this out. I can do offline ads really well and use direct response marketing and get trackable results. I don't know how to do this online." He built something in a weekend. We ran it in our practice and it was unreal. We ended up getting 30, I think 36 or 37 new patients out of that in the first month. It was amazing. So we have a dynamic ad library that's focused on performance. We review touch every account daily, changing and adding creatives, optimizing the budget, which is really key right now, especially with online advertising. Those costs can get out of control if they're not optimized. Launching that copy creative and target audience and testing those audiences, testing different ad types, whether it's a video, at least the results now are that video is going to be king here long term. Definitely outperforms the others, but testing different images, different testing 3D, or we call them whiteboard animations, and then refreshing that and changing the funnel to keep everything active in the market. This is Tony Sear. Just interviewed Tony and his wife Melissa for the podcast. They talked about their growth in income and revenue from 2016 to 2022. They literally tripled their practice. They shared they just did over 300K in cash-based services last year. And he also talks about how not only during the growth did they add more team members and everything else, but Tony was able to step back from treatment and now is completely out of treatment, completely. Jennifer Ratner, also doing the same exact thing with us here at Breakthrough, grew her practice, added 6,000 visits in year one. And then I think they're up to 22,000 visits is what she had done in 2022. So pretty rapid growth. Both Tony and Jennifer been working with Breakthrough here for years, and they're also amazing students, and they execute and implement as well. Yeah, Tony is in Florida, and Jennifer is in Texas. So before we get to your questions, and so if you want to learn more about what Breakthrough can do for you around reactivations, we run everything through that one system with Breakthrough. And online ads, we run it all in one place so we can track through when somebody clicks on an ad, when we respond, what they're doing with the email, how they're converting over to a new patient, and even the whole way through converting, completing their plan of care and graduating. We do that all with one system, one place, and that is with the growth assessment. Now, I'm going to show you in a second how you can sign up for that growth assessment. I know we have at least three or four spots available. I talked with the team ahead of time, but there are some assumptions that I want to talk about, like who this is for as an owner and who it's not for. Number one, you want to grow, you want to help more people, you have space, and you have a team in place to handle more, right? You ultimately need new patients, and you're just looking to fill schedules and fill your space. Every practice is different. So what we do in the growth assessment is we take a look at where you're at today and what your practice could look like if you had, ample reactivations and also ample cold traffic coming in, and what it would look like in your practice if you would fill your space and fill your schedule. And we walk you through a financial exercise around that. Yeah. So who is this not for? It's not for you if you're switching EMRs or billing right now. It's too much to take on. In terms of even looking at new patient growth, it's going to be really hard for you to be switching your EMR and that you also implementing reactivation or cold marketing processes. It's not for you if you're already at full capacity. You know, if you're in 3,000 square feet and you're already doing 300, 400 visits a week, this isn't for you. And the other one is if you're stuck hiring clinicians. So you're already, you know, you already have a waiting list and you just, you're having a lot of trouble hiring a clinician. This is not for you. But if you're an owner who you're looking to grow, you have underutilized space, you could handle more new patients and more visits, more plans of care. You've tried to market your practice ideally in the past, and you want to track the results of your marketing, then the growth assessment is for you. One of our growth specialists will walk through with your practice specifically for your unique practice, what you can do for growth. And really it's helping you realize your potential. All right, so we can open this up now for questions. David, our office does handwritten letters for patient reactivations with a similar process to the texting process that you explained. Have you done this? And if so, is the text or letters more effective in your experience? Yeah, David. So we do something called, I was going to grab one, the Green Ink letter. It's a handwritten letter. It was the first thing I ever taught here at Breakthrough back in 2013. And yeah, I mean, so here's something else that's important for you to think about. You can do one-to-one effort, right? And then you can also do one-to-many. So one-to-one is where you write a highly personalized piece, whether it's a handwritten letter or it's a text or it's an email, you can make it highly personal, right? So what I say to Sarah is different than what I say to Lauren is different than what I say to Mary. Three different, that's one-to-one. We also have one-to-many, right? And the trick is that your response rate is always going to be lower with one-to-many, but you can figure out how to make your one-to-many feel like a one-to-one. But yeah, so in that list that I shared with you, we had three different processes around there for, or four different processes for reactivation. They were all for one-to-many. For a one-to-one, we do handwritten emails, or sorry, personalized emails, personalized text, handwritten letters. And for us, for patients, we do it on their graduation date. We have a very simple process that we follow. I also wrote about that in Killer Marketing Secrets, the book that we published here at Breakthrough a while ago. Yep, a great question. What's more effective? Just track it for yourself. I'm in central Pennsylvania, so mailbox still works pretty well. It's offer.getbreakthrough.com/assessment. Again, for your practice, whether you're large or small, cash-based or insurance-based. Anyhow, would love to hear from you. What was your key takeaway? Any like biggest learning from our time here together? Well, thank you for the high engagement. Really appreciate each and every one of you. I know we have an unsustainable healthcare system right now. And I know and believe that you're the answer. The services that you're providing are the answer to righting that ship. So thank you for being in the trenches, for helping people, and also your high engagement here. Thanks, everybody.